Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, September 27th. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. As always, I'm very happy to be here and coming up on the harvest moon.
Yes, we have the full moon, the harvest moon on Friday, I think you told me.
We do. Very exciting. And this is the last Wednesday of September 2023. Wow. You know, it's gone by fast.
Going by so fast. Too fast, I say.
I know.
Well, so glad to have you here. And welcome to those that have joined us live. We always appreciate your contributions. And thank you to those that join us in the archives. We appreciate taking the time out of your week to catch up with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, we're going to be kind of delving into what happens when we sleep, what occurs when we sleep. And I'm really looking forward to this discussion. We've already had some interesting points back and forth prior to the prior to us going live here. And I think, Dr. Vicki, we agree we should probably start out with kind of the organic side of it, the mechanics of sleep, and then we can kind of move on to the more metaphysical and more interesting aspect.
Well, sure. We have to address the organics. I mean, the basic functions of sleep is it allows our bodies time to heal, especially the brain. And, you know, all the other factors, the nerve cells, neurons, mm-hmm. and basically there's the brain kind of has a role to play when it's sleeping. It removes toxins and, you know, sets the body up for basic healing. And, you know, if you get really sick and you have the flu and you sleep a lot, well, the body's healing. So there's that very simple, basic principle that we, you know, have to address, mm-hmm. first of all. And, but there's other reasons aside from that. You know, what we need to do to go through a process for the subconscious, unconscious, and all the other layers of which we can get to in a minute. But let's just start off by saying sleep deficiency is brutal.
Absolutely.
You know, if I don't get sleep, like 2 or 3 days of not sleeping properly, ooh, everything bugs me. Sound is amplified. Things are irritating because I'm not getting enough rest, and I have to be very conscious of that. And so sleep deprivation. But considering that everyone requires a different amount of sleep. Not everybody. I know they say get 8-9 hours sleep a night. Well, that's not necessarily true for everybody, nor is it true for, you know, different times of your life. I know adolescents need a lot more sleep, you know, because the body is going through, especially hormones, you know, and sleep releases hormones also in the body, and that's part of the healing and the growing. And as you get older, you know, there's various stages of life, but again, it's individual. So I think we have to, you know, start this conversation off in a really sensible way to acknowledge that if you find yourself not getting enough sleep, then at least try to get some rest. And there are some, you know, if you can't sleep, there are some sleep aids like melatonin. And I know there's a couple of others, natural kinds of things that help the body to rest, at least help the brain to rest. But if you're somebody who needs too much sleep, there might be something else that's going on health-wise. So, I mean, that's just something that you have to kind of figure out for yourself when it comes to the basic organics and basic health function.
Absolutely. And I think it is so interesting, and it's so important to point out how sleep or lack thereof can affect our perception. And you can take it all the way to extreme if you go, you know, too many days without any sleep, without, you know, being able to get any kind of rest. It begins to create a psychosis.
Well, and in fact, I did do a little research on this, and there was one fellow, 11 days he went. He's on the Guinness Book of Records. In 1963, it was a 17-year-old, Randy Gardner, went 11 days and 25 minutes with no sleep. I can't imagine how long it took for him to recover from that. Because, I mean, then there would be a little psychosis going on.
Yeah.
Sheesh. You know, but you know what people will do to set a Guinness Book of Records. So,
well, it's all about the name recognition.
Well, and the challenge, like, what is that? And it does certainly help the science of it and understanding ourselves better and getting to know our humanity a little better, like, again, the science. And, you know, we've come so far. Again, I know we've talked about this before, so far in the last 50 years, you know, with science, medicine, pharmaceuticals, you know, at there's a lot more information, so we have a lot more information to deal with. Like even something like sleep apnea, if you do have something like, you know, you're waking up, you're snoring, you wake up and you can't breathe, that's a really good indication that you're not getting enough oxygen, which can be a preventative to things like heart attacks and strokes. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that we have now at our fingertips that we didn't have earlier. So, having said that, I don't know, Dr. Edwards said the guy who stayed awake for 11 days could have damaged himself with that stunt. I totally agree, but, you know, all in the name of making a name for yourself in science.
Yeah, and I can appreciate it. I mean, there's a big side of me that, like, at night, I hate sleep. I hate the concept of sleep. I don't want to lose time. It's like hitting fast forward on the consciousness. I want to be able to just, you know, stay in this moment, enjoy things, and not have to give up time to, you know, just nothingness. But on the flip side, in the morning, I love sleep. I don't want to get up. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to be awake. Just let me sleep.
You know? That's because you're tired.
Exactly.
And I think those are the part of what we have to acknowledge is the phases of life, because I love sleeping, you know.
Yeah.
And that's I love, you know, being in a cozy bed with all those blankets, a nice crisp fall night. And to me, that's the ultimate dream. Speaking, we'll get to dreams in a minute here, but Tabitha says she hates sleep too. You know, and again, it's part of it is so personalized and what stage you're at in life and what, you know, I mean, if you don't, You say, oh, I don't want to be unconscious. I want to be awake to all of this. I totally get it. Well, I understand.
It's also a lot about, and for me, from my perspective, and for, you know, maybe not as much now, but for many periods of my life, it's not so much about, you know, just losing time. It's that I don't want tomorrow to start. I want things just to freeze right now. I don't want time to move forward. I'm tired of time moving forward. So you get that kind of, you know, emotional feeling about it. Like, you know, for me, it's like hitting fast forward.
Michael, newsflash.
Yeah, I know.
Can't stop it.
Well, so, and then I also very much relate to what you're talking about. Although, you know, if there was this, you know, way that I could just be able to go without sleep, without any repercussions, I'd probably want to throw in a nice rest, you know, a nice good long nap or something like that in between, just for the experience to dream and things like that. But I will say, especially when, you know, I get a dog or two to, you know, lean around me on the bed, and they all kind of pile on, and that makes it very comfy, especially on a cold night.
Yeah.
But,
you know, there's a lot more studies done, too, that naps are really good for you. Even closing your eyes for 10 minutes is a really good thing, and I've taken to that in my life. No, I love that, just even to relax, chill out for 10 minutes. Now, let's proceed, Michael, and you have literature in front of you about the five stages of sleep, because Wendy has a question about REM. And Zach has also mentioned REM sleep is where the dreaming stuff happens in the chat. So let's get to it.
Well, I think it's very interesting how you were talking about the different aspects of sleep and that helps us. You know, there are things for the body, I think, and things for the mind. But just let's start with the broadest overview. This is from the National Institute of Health. It's a archived medical journal article, and it talks about the five stages of sleep, of which being awake or alert is one of them. That is the first stage, wake or alert. It's where your brain is producing primarily beta waves, high frequency, lowest amplitude, and this is the first stage where you're awake but you're going to sleep. Your eyes might be open or closed, but this is where you're starting to become drowsy, where you start to drift off. Then you go into the stage N1, they call it, or light sleep. This is the lightest stage. Begins when more than 50% of the alpha waves are replaced with low amplitude mixed frequency. Then you have deeper sleep, stage 2, N2. This is a stage that represents a deeper sleep, and your heart rate and body temperature start to drop. It is characterized by the presence of sleep spindles. K-complexes are both. I probably should have looked that up. Oh, here we are. Sleep spindles are brief, powerful bursts of neurons firing in a superior temporal gyri, which is super fancy. I don't know what that means. But it's basically inducing different hormones, different chemicals, what you were talking about earlier, hormones being released into the body. We go on to the deepest non-REM sleep, or N3. This is when brain waves are, you know, becoming more slower, slow wave sleep, they call it. This is considered the deepest stage of sleep and is characterized by signals which with much lower frequencies and higher amplitudes, known as delta waves. And this stage is the most difficult to awaken from. This is why I have 5 or 6 different alarms, just in case I get caught in this stage.
Funny.
After that, and these stages, I think, are more focused on the body, releasing different chemicals, hormones, you know, tending to the body repairs, cellular replacement, etc. We then move on to REM, rapid eye movement, which is what we've been talking about in chat too. This is where you have beta waves similar to brain waves during wakefulness. REM is associated with dreaming and not considered a restful stage. While the EEG, the different readings are similar to an individual who is awake, the skeletal muscles are atonic, or they cannot move, except for the eyes and the breathing muscles. However, the breathing rate becomes more erratic, can become irregular, and this stage starts about 90 minutes after you fall asleep. And remember, you go through cycles when you're sleeping. So you'll go through this REM cycle several times throughout the night. The important characteristics of REM, according to this National Institute of Health article, are associated with dreaming, irregular muscle movements, rapid movements of the eyes. A person is more difficult to arouse by sensory stimuli, like alarm clocks. People tend to awaken spontaneously in the morning during an episode of REM sleep. So we just switched from being aroused by sensory stimuli as opposed to spontaneously waking in the morning. I think it probably has something to do with circadian rhythms. Mm-hmm. During REM sleep, you have a loss of motor tone, increased brain O2 use, and increased and variable pulse and blood pressure. And this is where I think, you know, it is the mind's time to I think, defragment. You know, it's processing so much data. You know, we all remember those dreams, and we all can sometimes remember the oddity of them, how different images, different senses are kind of intermixed. And this is kind of where we get some of the more fascinating insights into awareness and consciousness. And it's just so interesting. We'll just finish off this section just reiterating how active the brain is during REM sleep, how the metabolism for the brain is up 20% during this stage.
Well, and that's the point, that we think we're resting, but the brain is very active. So active on many levels, obviously what you've just, you know, what you've just referenced. And, Wendy has a question about REM, and I do too. And she said she'd always thought you have to be in REM to dream, that you don't reach REM until you've been asleep for a few hours, what you've alluded to, Michael, like 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And but she often starts to dream right after she closes her eyes. So do I.
Yeah.
And I can have a nap in the afternoon. I can lay down for 15 minutes and go immediately into a dream state. It's crazy. And wake up and go, whoa, where was I?
You know, I think REM is the most active dream stage, but things I've been reading have talked about how it's now become conclusive that we dream through all stages of sleep. Mm. And I think it's just the intensity of the dream, or perhaps, you know, the type of dream. Let's do a quick search. Dreams, this is a little segment here. Dreams during non-REM sleep are typically more thought-like and conceptual, which I think is a very interesting stage. So non-REM, more of the narrative-driven, I think. And I think that might be why we might remember them so well. Dr. Vicky, have you ever been dreaming something that's very narrative-driven, very story-based?
Oh,
you wake
yes.
up, and then you fall back asleep, and then you get like part two or chapter two of this narrative
sure
dream.
Do. Or one night to the next.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've had that too, where I go to sleep and part two of the dream the night before. It's kind of crazy.
It's that is one thing I do like about sleep, because I have found, you know, dreams to be very, you know, entertaining. And by the way, it's like going to see a movie, you know, it's like a lot of times it's like an action thriller or something, like maybe a, you know, spy, you know, movie or something like that, where just something intricate's going on, and there's like this whole plot line. It's like being in a holodeck in your own mind, but it can be very interesting. And I think what we dream about, because it's a reflection of what we're thinking about of our consciousness, and as this other aspect of the NIH article is talking about, non-REM dreams typically more thought-like and conceptual. I think that more tie into more of our, you know, our unconscious mind, or, you know, the byproducts of what we're thinking about, which makes it really interesting if you think about REM sleep, how I think sometimes if we are ever awoken in that stage, we might remember perhaps the most unsettling dreams, the things that are the most disjointed, that make the least amount of sense.
I agree. But before we move on to this, because I'm really into this, Dr. Mike has mentioned what he recalls about the sleep cycle typically follows a sequence of NREM 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, REM, and the cycle repeats several times during the night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes, the proportion of time spent in each stage can vary, with the more time spent in deep sleep, REM 3 and 4, during the earlier cycles, and more time spent in REM during the later cycles. The cycling of sleep stages is essential for overall sleep quality and various functions of sleep, including physical and mental restoration. Mm. So I appreciate you saying that, Dr.
Absolutely.
Mike.
And I can attest to that. I wear an Apple Watch, and it tracks my sleep, so... And the next day, I'll get a little report telling me how much time I spent in light sleep, deep sleep, you know, what it believe it to be REM sleep. Huh. So, and you can, it varies every night. Absolutely.
Oh,
right.
Oh, the science, the science.
It is
so
very
again,
interesting.
Before we go any further, a question about micro naps equals meditation. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of references and studies done on that. A little micro nap is equal to a meditation. Meditation is equal to a micro nap. And of course, then we fast forward to Tabitha's question about the multiverse. So, but let's go back and address dreams and those things we experience. Now, most of our basic understanding of psychology is still Freudian based. So let me tell you that right away in, you know, educational psychiatry, we'll still reference, you know, Freudian types of dynamic or fears, hopes, you know, basic mother, father, you know, family dynamic, does somebody love you, all that stuff. And of course, it goes on and on. So anybody who wants to look that up, you're welcome to it. My old teacher, Magda, would say that dreams are based on hopes, fears, and prophecies, or, you know, even then in hopes would be wishes. But we can fast forward that, too, because we have a lot more metaphysical information and the questions that we're still just barely scratching the surface of. Do I believe in a multiverse? Absolutely. You know, I've had dreams where it's an alternate me on some other plane, and it feels so real that, yikes. Now, could that be my mind playing tricks? Oh, sure. You know, and I'm sure Freud would have a party with that. So, you know, we have to look at all sides when we start exploring metaphysical interpretations of dreams. And if you look up symbologies of dreams, I think you have to remember that somebody else's interpretation of what those dreams are. Like if you dream of an owl, if you're in an indigenous community, they say an owl will forecast death if an owl comes to you. But in other communities, if an owl comes, it means a big change. So, you know, like how do we want to interpret this? We can take it to the nth degree, or we can take it with a bit of a grain of salt and say, you know, what are those things? So, because there's mysteries going on around us all the time. So, Do I believe that we exist on alternate dimensions and travel between worlds? I do. I have no evidence to prove that, except how I interpret my experiences and what I think alternate kinds of communications would be, whether that's a spirit realm. A lot of people say, hey, you know, they're visited by aliens. So, and who are we to dispute that in the event, you know, if we just have different beliefs and we can't wrap our brains around it? So I think that there's a lot more going on with the mind, the superconscious, than, you know, we could even begin to address in a program like this. That's just my thought.
Well, I think it's a very important one. And I think a lot about, you know, the frequency that we dream, you know, by which I mean the number of dreams we have. And we have so many dreams, and a lot of times our dreams are related to things that we're trying to figure out in our waking lives. I think it's only natural that to play, you know, look at the other side of the non-spirit walking one, that we're going to have, you know, a wide variety of experiences when we dream. But I kind of tend to agree with you. And I think even last week I was kind of half joking, half serious about us unplugging from this existence and existing in that abstract, timeless realm that consciousness exists in. But it's the simulation, right? The idea that this is all a simulation, but it's also a little bit more than that. It's like we're plugging into it almost as a form of, I don't know, entertainment, if you'd call it that. I think if you existed in a place where there was no time, there was no start, finish, that just to experience any kind of, you know, life like this would be hugely satisfying. But I also think that anything is possible. And I think that the idea of the multiverse is firmly implanted in our culture, and I think rightly so. I think it is the next kind of wave of understanding of our existence. And, you know, Tabitha had that great point. This is becoming, you know, more and more respected as a view. The idea of maybe even traveling the multiverse when we dream. This is something that was brought into pop culture with one of the more recent Doctor Strange movies,
yeah,
if you're into that kind of stuff. And I think it's very good that this is becoming more mainstreamed, if you will. It's because it means that it's a wider awareness and people are more open to these kind of ideas. But I think...
Well, I'd like to... Sorry, Michael.
No, go ahead. No,
I was just going to read Dr. Edwards' testimonial here, if I may. He said he had a dream where a woman who he didn't know claimed to be his mother. Quote, I said, but I thought all of my life that Miriam was my mom. She said to me that she is grateful that the woman I call mother took good care of me growing up. She says I started to cry in the dream, saying that I wanted to believe her so badly. Then he woke up and was thinking about the dream and what that could have meant, and he heard a voice in his head. She was not your mother in this life, Edward. He was dumbfounded. And see, that's a really powerful testimonial about something happening on an alternative slipstream, if you will. You know, an alternative reality, an alternative layer of dimension of time-space. And, you know, that we are communicating with so many different layers of consciousness and where that comes from. Because I'm assuming... Dr. Edward, being of sound mind and body, wouldn't occur to him to have that kind of a dream where some other woman comes to him and says, you know, I mean, I don't know what Freud would do with that kind of a story. I'm just saying
that
to me that is, and then he hears a voice in his head that's something else when he's awake,
mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that there's so much more going on than we realize. And we're just beginning to scratch the surface. I know, you know, there's other comments in the chat. So people who are in the archives, if you ever get a chance to come in the chat, we have some really good conversations going on in here. It's awesome.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, I think that, you know, I'm sorry, I had a train of thought and then my mind went somewhere else and then I kind of came back.
You're but, having one of those moments.
Oh, I am. You know, I get my senior moments when you get to this stage of my life. But, you know, I think back to, well, first off, I recall it now, but it's your comment about Freud saying things about that. And I think that in psychiatry, psychology, we've kind of come and evolved to a point that we realize how complex dreams are. And I think one of the best pieces of advice I ever got about my own dreams is, don't look so much at the imagery of what's happening in the dream as much as what are you feeling? How does it make you feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the
Absolutely.
Images can be misinterpreted, but what is the feeling that you have?
Well, I have had dreams of, you know, from 30, 50 years ago that I'm watching life in this reality and those events unfold. Now, back then, I could only trust that was a premonition, even though at the time you could say, well, that's just kind of mental. You know, those are kind of mental things. So we have to trust in our process of self-observation. And again, it takes time to say, you know, I'm not crazy. I am feeling something, and then just watch life play out. And why do these things come to us? Sometimes it's just a preparation. Sometimes it's just a heads up. Sometimes it's just a lesson and an education that life is more than this just little three-dimensional space and time here. And I think that's where we have to watch that. Making sure that you have sleep allows for that super consciousness to participate in this reality as well. That's where I think, aside from the organics of it, I think that we are, you know, kind of moving between all these other universal realms, and that's important that we know that we're more than just this. That's my take on it.
I would agree. I think you're definitely preaching to the choir on that one. And I think just the very fact of opening your mind to these things is very important. I think just opening your mind to exploring the different ways in which consciousness can exist and you know, the creativity involved in thinking about, you know, what are the different possibilities of what happens to our mind when we sleep? I think that very act is not only healthy, but it's imperative for continued human evolution.
Yep. You know, I'm going to confess something to everybody here. I had COVID a year ago last May, and I've been treating myself for long-haul COVID as a result, naturopathically. What I didn't know, and I just became aware of, is I have very high blood pressure. Now, over the last year and a half, sleep has been really hard. It's been stressful. You know, wake up several times in the night and so on. It's hard to get to sleep. And since I have been on blood pressure medication, I'm sleeping. Whew, like, oh my God, it's resting. So that where I want to say the organics of that, I am saying, wow, this is a whole new world to me. I had no idea. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this for a pity party yet. I'm just saying that this is, you know, part of the evolution of getting older in life. And, oh, I'm blaming it on COVID because statistics are. However, last night I had a dream. I did tell Michael this before the program. Last night I had a dream of my late paternal grandparents, who I have never seen in a dream since they passed. Never talked to them. And it's been a long time since they've been gone. And decades, in fact, with my grandfather. But both my paternal grandparents came to me in a dream last night. Very quietly, passively. And they both looked and said, it's not your time yet. And then just I said, where are you going? And they said, not your time. And then they just kind of wafted away. And I went, wow, that to me was in an alternate experience of, look, trust me, people, I'm not worried about dying. I'm just saying that that was an alternate experience of, chill out. Do what you need to do. Treat the body as the body needs to be treated. You're into a new phase of life, and it is what it is. So chill out. Do what you need to do. You're not dying today, and it's not your time. But that dream was that, not that I necessarily needed an affirmation or confirmation in some way. However, it was of great comfort. And in my subconscious, and again, what would educational psychiatry do with that, conjure up my late grandparents? I don't know. It's kind of, I guess you can have a party with that theory as well, except that I have not dreamed about these people, and bless their hearts, you know, they meant the world to me, but I haven't dreamed about them in ages. Or, you know, and I think about them from time to time, have their pictures and so on, but... So how would we explain that in understanding how the mind works and the sleep state? You see, I find it fascinating. So I'll trust in my grandparents. I'm not leaving today, Michael.
Well, good news, I say. And, of course, according to this, you said that now you get to people not to, get to tell people not to get your blood pressure up, which is bad news for me.
Raw deal. Don't upset me, my blood pressure.
I mean, I didn't even make fun of you when you said process. I mean, this is how bad it's gotten.
My oldest daughter says, oh, you're going to milk this, aren't you? I said, of course I am.
I think it's, it's very interesting, the subject of our dreams. I know I said earlier not to focus too much on the imagery, but sometimes the imagery is so profound that it's hard not to. I appreciate Dr. Edward sharing your story in chat earlier and, you know, on the follow-up of talking about how it's affected you and, you know, the thought about that. I think it is very provocative. I think that it, my mom, my own mother, who my biological mother, who died when I was younger, 18, not too young. I had a good time, you know, to get to know her and to understand her as a person. Of course, we had very many ups and downs, but it is it's odd. In the years immediately after, I would dream about her often, and then it became very few and far between. And now it's it is very noteworthy. You know, just the imagery of my mother, and it's has a different kind of otherworldly feel to it these days.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess it's that time. I really enjoyed this discussion, everybody.
I know.
I don't think we have talked about topic of sleep and its importance for a very long time, if ever. So a nice take. Next week we have Tabitha joining us.
We do. We do. And we're going to have a bit of a, you know, somewhat Halloween-themed discussion. We're going to be talking about cryptozoology, the confidence to explore the unknown, lessons from cryptozoology. So very looking forward to having Tabitha with us next week. And as Charlie, the dog here, was kind enough to remind us, it is time for cards this evening. We have our inner Charlie. Oracle cards and tarot.
Charlie is so intuitive.
He is. He's a good timekeeper, that one.
I know. I just wrote it in the chat, too. So, Dr. Deb, we wished you happy birthday last week. So, again, happy birthday to you.
Absolutely. We definitely want credit for that.
Yep, we do.
But all right. So I believe Dr. Deb was our first card of the evening.
Yes. Yeah, and for
you, I have number 13 in the existential suit, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
I think you're making a new plan for the future here, Deb. I see the two of clubs, so positive consciousness, looking forward, and what's a new game plan? What's a new target for yourself? What kind of setting new sights for yourself in the future? And I always say, you know, it's important that we all have something to look forward to. But in this case, you might have a new game plan. So I say, be positive, be proactive, and totally go for it. So we all have right. Dr. Edward next, I think.
And Dr. Edward, thank you for sharing again. And for you tonight, it is number 24. It's in the spirituality suit, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Well, when you have the Nine of Clubs, it's a bit of a protection symbol, protection card, the Nine of Wands. And, you know, and I can relate to this too, I don't talk to everybody I know in my life about metaphysics. I don't necessarily talk to them about how I might philosophically or even psychologically view the world. Some conversations have to be left to that space that they exist in. So when you're living your truth, Edward, it's sometimes we're limited in what we can exchange because somebody else isn't on the same thought process as you, but you still continue to live your truth no matter what people are around you and what they might think. So that's all I'm saying is you're being true to yourself and being a little bit self-aware and people-aware at the same time and knowing what to say, when to say it, how to say it. So I think that's a great affirmation.
All right. Good message. And Dr. Zach, I believe you're next, and you've requested the third card from the left. Good instincts. You got the first wild card of the evening. It's number 8, freedom. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Oh, Zach, you want a third from the left. You've got freedom, and its counterpart here is the 8 of spades. So when you have the 8 of swords, you know what that means. You know, feeling a little bit confined, constricted, limited, you know, and I always say it's a real intuitive card because you have to use your intuition to navigate your way through. And so basically this is saying the freedom within its limitations, you know. And Zach and I recently had a little visit on Messenger. You know, he's one of my favorite people on the planet. And so, you know, he lives with MS. Everybody here knows that. And it does have some of its own limitations. But at the same time, Zach finds this enormity of energy to explore, to keep doing other things and challenging himself. And in that, in whatever his circumstance, he's found an enormous amount of freedom. So I don't mean to talk like you're not here, Zach. I'm just explaining it to everybody. You and I both know what this means, and you're continuing to find a different state of freedom, different than most people could relate to, which is in and of itself extraordinary.
Very good. And it should be noted, Wendy pointed out, our card keeper, Wendy pointed out, Dr. Zach had this card on June 13th. Oh. And last week he had a match as well. Yeah. All right. And we have Jerry next. Jerry, appreciate your contributions. You had most recently pointed out the five, let's see, I believe it was five realms, astral realms of sleep that people travel to. And I think that's interesting. It correlates with the five stages of sleep that we were kind of talking about earlier, too. It's, I think, a nice metaphysical spin on it or take on it. For you, I have number eight, balance and order. With this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what is out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the life leadership paragon areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will.
Well, you've got the Jack of Clubs here. So that Jack of Wands means you're bringing about some changes in your life, Jerry. And it's a new state of balance and order. And let's make this clear, everybody, that balance and order isn't a constant. Balance and order is an active, constant change of being. So as we go through changes, we have to adapt. And, oh, well, I have to clean out this to make room for that. I have to do this in order to make room for that. So we're always in that place of discovering and that activity of balance and order. And it's when things go out of order, you say, oh, I don't feel good. Now, okay, there's something here that needs tending. In this case, Jerry, you're already in a state of communicating changes and changes that you're looking forward to. And in that is, in my sense here, is a spiritual order, feeling more connected within yourself here in the earth plane. That, I don't know why I say that. That just popped out of my face. So that's where I'm going to go with that. And to me, it feels really positive. So I think we have Kevin next, Michael.
All right. Dr. Kevin, for you tonight, I have number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
The first word that comes to me here, Kevin, is patience. And, you know, you have the Eight of Cups, which is the Eight of Hearts, and sometimes it feels like you're walking in the dark. You don't necessarily have a clarity of mind, but it's patience and not to feel too rushed with things. It could be like you're waiting for news, waiting for, you know, something to come through, and it's not quite there when you expect it. It's just that patience. So keeping your trust and integrity together, and if you feel like you have to navigate something differently, well, that's fair enough. But just hang in there and get busy with other things while you're waiting for news on this other thing. So again, wherever that comes from.
So I like it.
Hope
message.
That makes sense, Kevin.
All right. And I believe we have our card keeper herself next, Wendy.
I have that also.
And Wendy, I have for you number one, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Wow, Wendy, I got the Wheel of Fortune. If there's ever a time for you to take a chance, for you to step forward, it would be now. It's like there's a perfect wheel in motion for you here. So you want to take a little bit of a gamble. In other words, this could relate something like you want to speak up at work when the timing wasn't right before, now might be the time. Or you have something to say to somebody in your life, but it's never been the time. And so it's like the timing is coming up here for things to, part of me wants to say clear the air, but the other thing is to set things right for yourself. So in that perfect motion of your own elevation. And everybody else would just have to get in line. Shrug. As I see it. So I hope that makes sense. I really do appreciate, the feedback and in the chat. As I've said many times, I have no idea what I'm saying when I'm saying it. So, it's good. It's encouraging for me on this end. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I believe that we have Tabitha next. Oh. I think she's our final card, if I'm not mistaken.
I missed it. Thank you, Michael.
That's what I'm here for.
Yep.
All right, Tabitha, for you tonight, I have number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking in unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, I have the Six of Clubs, and I like that because it's a celebration. So, this is what I'm going to say in response to this, Tabitha. If there's something in your life that doesn't belong to you, let it go. It's just like, whew, a weight lifted off of you. Oh, and Wendy says that you had that take and release on August 30th, so not too long ago. And so I guess here, sometimes we take on things of other people, even emotionally, like in a way of worry or concern, extending ourselves. And sometimes when we step back and say, that's not my deal. I've given what I can. And remember that if I have the right to choose my life, somebody else has the right to choose their life. And that's something of respect and mutual respect between human beings that we can all really take some important lessons from instead of, how does Dr. Kelly say it? Do for yourself if you can and let others do for themselves if they can. So I want to say that there's some changes here, and once you regain your power and let go of other stuff that doesn't belong, Tabitha, is a tremendous sense of freedom.
Very well said. I like it.
I do too, actually. It's something for us all to remember. I have to listen to myself as we're talking,
Well, I often find myself very much agreeing with what you say and the different ideas that you kind of present. And I think it's, for a lot of people, I hope that they do connect with you personally. But I also thank you for being able to tag along, because a lot of times I listen to you and it gets me thinking about something. So thank you for that.
Awesome. We have a tremendous group here. Again, to remind you, it's the Harvest Moon on this weekend. And just take a minute, be grateful for all that has come this year. And I know it's not necessarily been an easy year for a lot of folks, but still, we have to live in a place of gratitude. And, you know, I had a moment driving my car the other morning. I said, you know, I'm so blessed. I have a roof over my head. I have food. You know, I have people who love me, people I love very much. And I get Wednesday nights to look forward to. And, you know, life is good. And we have to take those little things as the good things, not just focus on the negatives and the stress. Because trust me, one brief skip through the news in the morning, I'm saying, ugh, you know, ugh.
Yeah.
And I just say, next, then put some music on. So be kind to yourselves out there, people. There's always more going on behind the scenes for folks, and a little bit of kindness can go a long way.
Very well said. Very well said. And I have to concur, you know, it's so important to hang on to those moments and those points of happiness, because life is a wide variety of experiences. Some of them are pleasurable, some of them aren't. And if we focus on the bad, we're not going to see the full context and the full breadth of existence, and we're going to be missing out. So I look forward to this each and every week. I look forward to catching up with you. I look forward to talking with you, Dr. Vicky. And I really enjoy it. And thank you for being here to allow us to do this. And
thank you. I just would like to insert, Dr. Kelly is now sending out a newsletter to everybody. A little feedback could go a long way. Thank you very much. And I know I'm reading them. It's great refresher stuff for me as I read them. And I told them it's a real nice touch. And I have appreciated getting them. So anybody, a little feedback to Dr. Kelly, I know he'd appreciate that too.
Absolutely. Good call out. And yeah, I've really enjoyed seeing those come across. So very much would be interested in that kind of feedback and what you think of it. But yeah, it's a great discussion. We're looking forward to having Tabitha join us next week. We're going to be talking cryptozoology. And yeah, it's been great. Any last thoughts before we wrap up, Dr. Vicky?
No, just about said it all. Don't let them push you around out there, folks. And, you know, live your best life.
Always good advice. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.